This is the cross in the Song of Songs, number 7. So let's go ahead and pray, and we shall begin. Lord, we thank you for what you're doing in us, Lord, that we are the place where you sing, where you desire to sing. We are the place, we are the land that you desire to possess in ways that you died for and in the heart of hearts before time and eternity, the things you longed for and the reason why you created all things, and that we are now entering into that purpose, Lord. And we see it in this book and how your cross is a living reality woven into each word to bring forth that which was in your heart before time. Lord, let us hear more than through the veil of our personal experience or need, but let us press past ourselves into your heart, Lord, that we might hear clearly, that we might see clearly through the filter of you instead of through the filter of us. Help us to be less self-aware. Help us to be less self-centered. Help us to be less focused on ourselves. Help us to love you more than we love ourselves. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So we're going to look in chapter 2. The homework that I passed out, if you are a student, is due Sunday morning by church. Not Sunday afternoon, not Sunday evening. Sunday morning. Okay? All right. Chapter 2. Starting in verse 8. Everybody got your Bibles open? Because I would like you to read. Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 8. I just want us to see that it is the word of the Lord we are coming with tonight. Just want to hear what he has to say and let the Holy Spirit minister to each of us in his word. Chapter 2, beginning in verse 8. The voice of my beloved. I'm just going to read a bit. Behold, he cometh leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills. My beloved is like a roe or a young hart. Behold, he standeth behind our wall. He looketh forth at the windows, gazing through the lattice. Okay. So, in this first sentence of verse 8 that we read, it says, the voice of my beloved. So she's perceiving that he is speaking. But at this point, she doesn't hear what he's saying. She just hears a voice. So what follows that, and I'm just kind of sharing it the way that I felt, I think I felt from the Lord. You have to ask the Lord if that's the case. But the way it came as I was preparing for class was that she hears a voice. And she says, behold, he's leaping on the mountains. He's skipping on the hills. He's like a roe. He's like a young hart. And so she's observing things about him, possibly even interpreting them according to where she understands, where she's at from her view. But she hasn't heard his voice yet. And she's, you know, seeing skipping and leaping. And she's possibly, very possibly, interpreting that leaping and that skipping as he's joyful, he's excited, he's leaping, he's skipping. I mean, those are words of dancing. And so she can assume that he is excited and that his excitement is over her and that his rejoicing is over her condition and is in regards to their relationship, and this brings her a great consolation as if life is good. And I'm not saying that's the case, but could you see how that could really be, you know, easily interpreted? And maybe his joy has to do with his nature of selfless giving to the Father. And maybe what he's doing on those mountains is altars. And he's pouring out his life and he's rejoicing that the Father's receiving because he is a selfless being. So the things that would make, it's kind of like observing the firstborn, isn't it? We can read Ishmael into the seed because we don't understand Jesus. I'm not saying we. I'm not speaking to anyone here particularly. I'm just saying in general, right? Just conceptually, the possibility is there where we could be so in love with ourselves and so aware of the things that delight our heart that we read all that into him. If he's leaping and skipping with joy, that means he got a big birthday party and cake, and everyone looked at him, and he had the perfect day where he had to just do only things he enjoys doing that make him happy, that feed his desires. And that's why he dances. Can you see Jesus in a church service dancing, and you look into his heart, and he's dancing because he feels good that day? Today, I don't feel pain. Today, everything went my way. Today, I got my way all day long. I didn't have to do anything I didn't want to do today. Would that be Jesus or would that be the flesh? But if that's how our heart functioned, we could think that person's excited because everything's going their way. They have no pain. They have no problems. There's no trials. There's no opportunities to lay down their life. And so they're happy because guess what? They don't have altars. Isn't that great? They never have to die to self. And that's why they're dancing. Because that's why I dance. When I never have to die to self, when I never have to go the extra mile or lay my life down for my enemy, when everything goes my way, when I don't feel sick, when my emotions are perfect, when my mind is clear, that's when I give Jesus love. I only love Jesus or his people when I feel good, when it serves my purposes, when everything's going my way. That's when I live Christ. No, that's when you live self. Because Jesus does not live that way in anybody. Because if you think it's Jesus in you doing that, it ain't Jesus, in my humble opinion. And you don't even know the Lord. Does that mean you're saved? Yeah, if you ask Jesus in your heart, you're saved, in my opinion. But is he living through you? You answer that. Can you identify Jesus in you? And do you read what's not Christ in you in the scriptures when you're searching for him? Because how many times could we read this verse right here that he's leaping and skipping and assume that has to do with everything going our way instead of identifying that this has something to do with his heart for the Father, his nature to lay his life down, and that he's getting opportunities to manifest the glory of God through selfless giving, through dying to self. Well, that can't happen when Mary's on a donkey on the road to Bethlehem, 9 months pregnant, and she's going into false labor, and she feels like everything can't be God because this is the Son of God she's supposed to bring forth, and Joseph's in a bad mood, and the people that she's traveling behind have screaming children, and she's got a migraine headache, and how can this be the will of God? And she'll never sing on the donkey then because it can't be God. Or right now, I can enter into his purpose because I'm going to use this as an altar opportunity to manifest the nature that's in me, that's wanting to come out of me. He's wanting to come out of me in things that aren't comfortable. Can I just hear that? Not comfortable. Not comfortable. Not going my way. When my body doesn't feel good, Jesus wants to live through me. Because he's a lamb, not a self-centered person like me. And I'm sorry, Jesus, for calling you that in my heart. Amen? Let's be real. I'm only saying this because the Spirit of God jumped my case for this class. He jumped me. And I am trying to tame it down right now. Because I feel fire in my bones. We need this. I need this, okay? We need to be serious. If we're here as Bible school students, and I thank God there's only Bible school students in this class, because he's bringing it to the Bible school students. Because we signed up for Jesus. We're not here on a pleasure cruise or even to get a good class. We're here to bring forth Christ like Mary was on that donkey. And if we're getting off course because we're so in love with ourselves and unwilling to suffer with Jesus, we got to start thinking about why we're here. Amen? Time to think about why we're here. In my humble opinion, which means nothing. She's wrong, in my opinion. She is wrong. He is not leaping and skipping for joy over her condition. He's pretty much about two steps away from saying, goodbye, lady, until you get it right. Okay, that's the scriptures. He loves her. They're in union. And all her crying and pleading about, you're hurting my feelings, I can't take it, ain't gonna move him. Ain't gonna move him. What's gonna move him is her getting with him. Can I hear an amen to that? Amen. Do you want Jesus to be moved because you're gonna manipulate him with, I can't take this, it's too hard. The enemy affects me when you do this me this way, Jesus. How many people really want to move Jesus by manipulation? Raise your hand. How many people want to move Jesus by the fact that I'm with you in the face of all this stuff hitting me? I'm with you because it's not about me, it's about you. Anybody want to give him that? Amen. So when things don't go our way, what do we call that? Amen. Opportunities. That's why this place exists, folks. That's why this place exists. It don't exist to feed your flesh. This Bible doesn't exist to feed our flesh. We don't exist for our flesh, because you know what? Our flesh was crucified. Our flesh isn't even supposed to exist. So we're not supposed to try to sneak it in. I'm going to sneak my flesh into this relationship. I'm going to sneak it in. Yeah, I'm going to use pity and manipulation and my weaknesses and frailties to try to get my flesh through the door. How many people want to do that? I'm going to sneak my flesh in. Ask your heart that. And then say, Lord, I need the cross. I need the cross inside of me. What does the cross look like? The cross looks like the Holy Spirit bringing the reality of your death with Christ to that moment when you say, it's all about me, and I will not yield to the Lamb because it's going to cost me. What did Jesus tell his disciples? Count the cost. No man can follow me except what? Deny himself, and then what? Take up his cross. You are not a disciple, according to my Bible, unless you are willing to deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow Jesus, and not your soul, not your body, not your mind. You are saved. You are loved. You are not a disciple. How many people came to Bible school to be disciples? Well, that's why you should have come, because that's what the Bible school's for. Disciples, pick up that cross. Deny yourself. Start following the Lamb instead of your own soul, your own body, and your own will. Amen? I'm saying that to myself. I say it to myself every day. I have to be this way with Kelly every day. You can hate me forever for being this way with you, but if you want Jesus, you won't hate me that much. Because I'm fighting for the Christ that's in you. And I know your heart. I know that's why you came here. I know that's why you stay here. But every now and again, the Spirit of God has to bring us back to the basics, doesn't he? And I'm not saying he's talking to anyone here, but I am saying the Spirit of God jumped my case to share this tonight. I'm not doing that. God gave me this, and I looked down at my word. That's where we were at. Amen? It's not. You just be with Jesus. Ask him. Ask him. So let's continue in these verses. My beloved is like a roer, a young hart. He standeth behind our wall. He looketh through the windows, gazing through the lattice. So all of a sudden, she's looking a little closer, and she's going, yeah, he's leaping and skipping, but he's behind my wall. And he's having to look through this veil. A lattice is a veil. So she's getting a little more attuned to where he's at in regards to her, because she's realizing there's this big wall of separation, right? I'm here, he's there, and there's a veil up, so he can't even really be with me. He's got to kind of try to feel through, see through this, you know what I'm saying, through this veil. So she's maybe not understanding what she's perceiving as she's beholding this wall, because God's going to start to deal with her heart to bring her in to where she needs to be with him. And, you know, y'all, when the Lord's dealing with us, he's loving us. He's loving us. I mean, he really is. I know that's hard for our souls to understand. God knows I know that personally in my life. There's been times when my soul just can't get on board. It just can't. It's just like, I can't believe God loves me and he's dealing with me like this. I can't believe it in my soul. So I just deny my soul. I'm not going to spend all day trying to convince my soul that Jesus loves me, because my soul just needs to be denied. But my heart knows, and I hear his love behind the dealing. He chastises everyone he loves, right? Everyone, every son he receives. So if we're willing to endure that, doesn't it speak of it in Hebrews, then we're going to enter into something so wonderful of his life that it's beyond all that we ever went through. Amen. But if our soul intercepts the ball and takes the touchdown into the other end zone, what I mean by that is when Jesus is starting to bring us in through chastisement and stuff, and then our soul says, I can't do it. It grabs that ball and it just runs the other direction, self-preservation, and it just makes a touchdown. Safe from the cross. Yeah, I made it. Unscathed. Though he tried to deal with me, I was not touched. I have maintained my comfortable life of wonderful selfishness. And I get to live for self still. Yay! And you start dancing, and we get back to chapter or verse 8. But it's not the same dance the Lamb does. It's the dance that we do if we're not conformed to his image. And right there, that should hit us. That should hit us. It hits me. Not with condemnation, with the cross. If I let condemnation rob me of being crucified, I never enter into oneness. I'm going to walk right past condemnation, straight into crucified, and get to be one with Jesus and bring forth a son. But I am not going to let that troll on the bridge hijack my death with Christ by bringing me into condemnation and throwing me into the moat with the alligators. And I'm just going to be, I'm so condemned. I can't get to the other side. Like, you were supposed to be crucified, not condemned. And if you were crucified, you were going to be ushered into oneness. Don't let the bridge troll hijack your gift. God's trying to bring you in through the cross. Just let it come. You come all the way to the other side. Amen. It's a beautiful thing, but it isn't easy. It requires dying to self. So now he's going to speak in verse 10. My beloved spoke. Now he's speaking. It's not just the voice. She's starting to hear the words. He says, and he said unto who? He said unto me. Not my brother, not my sister, but it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of whatever the beloved's trying to say. You know what I mean? I want to hear his voice. I want to hear what the words are coming out. I want to hear the words, not just the voice. My beloved spake. He said unto me, you're doing great. Everything's good. A+. Gold stars. Keep it up. He said, rise up and come away. It's a rebuke. It's an exhortation. It's a drawing from his heart. It's all of that. But it isn't a commendation that makes him skip for joy. It's something uttered from behind a wall. Rise up. Come away. She's not where she's supposed to be. If she was, he wouldn't say, rise up and come away. Come away. Come away from this way of relating with me. Rise up to the way you're supposed to be with me. And you know where he's saying this from? Behind the wall that she built to be safe from him. She built a wall, and I'm talking to myself, but I'm just saying, you know what I'm saying? We all do this, and we all need to be together getting past this. She built a wall to keep her safe from the Lamb. Is it possible to do that in our hearts? Jesus, you're just a little bit too much. Selfless giving, blessing enemies, taking the Lord's seat, you know what I mean? Your nature. My self-life doesn't like it. So I'm going to build a wall to keep me safe from you. Safe from you. And he is whispering, crying his heart out to her from behind the wall she built to keep herself safe from him. Rise up and come away. Come away from the wall you built against me.
rise up from that safe place that keeps you in deadness in winter when the winter is gone and the spring has come and the birds are singing. Why are you living behind this wall in separation? Why are you living separate from me in deadness when you could be with me where the birds are singing and the vines are blossoming and new life is happening? Rise up and come away. It's time. Union has come. I didn't build this wall. I broke it down at the cross. You're the one who's built it to protect yourself. And it's left me out in the cold. But all she can say is, but it's warm in here. It's safe in here. I feel peaceful in here. Well, I feel freezing cold out here. Who do we love more? Jesus or ourselves? That's the question, isn't it? That's the wall question. Who's more important? My warmth and safety and comfort and comfortable, you know, whatever it is. Or the one standing out there in the cold who's supposed to be on the throne. But oftentimes we don't even think about him. All we think about is us. I'm not saying anyone in this room. Do you know what I'm saying? I'm just talking in generalities because that's the way the self-life works until it's crucified. That's the way it works until it's crucified in me. And the sad thing is, and I've seen this in me so many times, and I know it's still there, I don't even think about him. Literally, the only thought is, at least I'm comfortable. It doesn't even affect me that he's out there in the cold. It's okay with me. I'm able to go to sleep at night and be okay with that. Because I really don't just think about myself. And that's when I know I need the cross. That's when I know I need the cross. And that's why I'm so thankful there's a cross in the Song of Solomon, because what would he do without it, and how could I love him without it? To give him the uncircumcised, uncrucified flesh Kelly would be an abomination, a nightmare. I would treat him so badly. I would abuse the Lord. But because of the cross, I can love him in the way he needs. I can love him by his life. I can love him by selfless nature. Can love him by lamb. Isn't it wonderful? And for the Lord to want to bring me in by applying the cross to me is everything I could hope for, everything I could want for his sake, you know? So it's wonderful if you love him, if he's more important than ourselves. If he's what's important, this is wonderful. If we are what's important, this is a nightmare. This class is a torture. If ultimately it's all about us, this is horrible. Who wants to hear this? But if we want him, this is wonderful. Because we go, my gosh, thank you, cross. There's a chance I might just give him what he needs. That's why I came here. That's why I'm here. It's for him. Praise the Lord for the cross. It will cost me my life, but it will bring forth his. Ah, that's okay. That's everything I want for his sake. Amen. So for some, it's good news. For some, it's a savor of life unto life. And for others, it's a savor of death. Amen. The cross, the cross. Verse 11, for lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone. We're one. The cross has made us one. It's time to live in union. It's finished. When I died and buried, that old creation was raised again. You're in me. It is finished. I did the work. You're complete in me. We are one. In our way of relating, you may have built a wall, but in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, we are seated and raised together, and union has come. You're hid in Christ with God. It's finished. He's saying what he knows is true about who we are in him. That's the truth. But he's wanting what's in heaven to be in earth. You know what I mean? For it to have a place in us of relating with him there. So he's crying out from what's real in his heart. He's saying, we are one. I did die and make you bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh, one spirit with the Lord. That doesn't change when we build a wall, does it? The truth of the cross doesn't change when we live selfishly. The truth of the cross doesn't change when we build a wall. You know, and we're not talking about truth right now. We're talking about the Lord and his heart and our relationship with him. But it is. It's true. We are carried. We are preserved. We're hidden. We're accepted in the beloved. We're crucified. He did that. But the cross is coming into her life now so he can have a wife. The cross is coming in her life now, not just in her spiritual reality in Christ Jesus, but the cross is coming in her life now so he can have a wife. Amen? And if to her it's just an issue of the finished work, which it can be, and it's true, she will be safe and saved, but he will be out in the cold and alone. What's important to us? That's the question, isn't it? That's the question. What's important to us? Amen? And that's between you and the Lord. Don't ask me to answer that question for you. You and Jesus have a talk about that one. Verse 13. Well, no, let's go 12. The flowers appear on the earth. On the earth, the time of singing of birds has come. The voice of the turtle dove is heard in our land. Oh, my goodness. In verse 12, he is declaring, I see my fruit starting to happen inside of you. In the earth, in you, my life is beginning to form. He's acknowledging that their union has been fruitful. It's starting to bring forth life in her. The turtle dove is heard in our land. The Spirit of God has been singing in your heart, in your heart. He's going, listen, you're starting to come forth in new life. The Spirit of God is breathing on your inner man, bringing the word beyond teaching. There's fruit blossoming in your earth. Tender little things are budding forth. What does that mean? That means that Jesus is actually growing in us. And he's seeing it. He's going, look at, Jesus is growing in you. He's not just saying you built a wall. He's not just saying I'm out in the cold. He's acknowledging, I see that you've been receiving my life. I see that there's new life coming forth in you. I see my life in you. We always say, Lord, it's just one thing or the other. You're either mad at me or you're happy with me. You're either, it's either all just bad failure or it's all just perfectly doing good. Has anyone ever just been all failure or all Jesus formed and flowing in fruit? I don't think anyone in the universe has ever been just 100% one or the other. And the Lord isn't just looking at us and saying, all I see is the failure. All I see is, he's saying, I just see you. I just see us. I just see where my life is in you, and it's beautiful to me, and I'm fighting for it. And I see where little foxes and walls of separation are breaking down our love relationship. What kind of a husband would see his wife had built a wall like they're in the kitchen, and she's got these cement bricks. He's coming in for breakfast. This wall, and there's a window thing, and he's like, honey? Yes, darling? I'd like to say a few things to you. Well, good, because I just have a wonderful morning, and it's so sunshiny in my kitchen. I love it in here. I have my potpourri on. It smells good. My music's playing. Yeah, it's kind of cold out here behind this brick wall you built, you know? Yeah, but I saw that you were leaping and skipping this morning, so you're in a great mood, aren't you? Well, not really. It's kind of cold, and that was a little bit to do with, my business, the Father's business. You know, we had a transaction. I had an altar, and he got glory. But yeah, kind of looking back here through your wall, I'm not really that excited. You know, well, you know, praise the Lord. You know, and there's the wall, and then what else was there? Oh, yeah, and you know what I noticed this morning? There were these little foxes running around, you know, all those special things we planted together, and they're pretty much almost destroyed. But oh well, there you are, here I am. And it's just so warm and cozy in this kitchen. I love scrambled eggs. I'm as happy as I could be. Well, darling, our children are being devoured by foxes, and I'm freezing cold behind the wall you built. I'm not trying to be critical. I know you think I'm just a big toad, this mean-spirited and self-absorbed, but I just kind of thought you might want me in there with you and that maybe possibly we could deal with the foxes that are destroying our children. But hey, I don't want to be, you know, too demanding on you.
you know, I wouldn't want to violate your sense of being, you know, tenderly treasured. I don't want to be a bad husband and not cherish you. You know, the fact that we will maybe never see eye to eye again, and I'm going to freeze to death, and the kids we do have will die by the foxes. I guess that's kind of, you know, whatever. Just as long as you're happy, dear, in your delusional state. You know, that's okay. I wouldn't want you to think I'm an angry God or, you know, mean in any way. You know, I just want to be everything you think I should be. Because really, that's all that matters, is your opinion. Because you haven't really seen me yet, but I don't mind living by your idols of me. I don't need real relationship, just that you're happy. That's all I care about. I died just so you'd be happy behind your little wall.
Sounds ridiculous, doesn't it? Or does it? Not looking at anyone. Or does it? Looking at myself in my history with Jesus, and I'm saying, daggummit, that used to make sense to me. Not in my mind, not in my religious things that I said I believed, but in the way I treated Jesus. That'll just break your heart. That'll break my heart. Weeping with Peter, saying, Jesus, how could I do that? I don't want to do that. I need the cross. Keep dying, Jesus, because I need it. I need your cross. I need it to hit my heart right in the center. Amen? Well, that's all love there. Love goes through stuff, doesn't it? Heartbreak goes through it to the other side. He's willing to. Look at him out there in the cold. He's okay. He's loving her from behind the wall, and he's fighting for her. No, he's not. He's picking on me. If he loved me, he'd just let me be happy. No, if he loved you, he would cry out and deal and draw and bring you in to himself. Amen? Yeah, he sure would. He sure would. He sure would. He sure does. And he sure does love us. He sure does. And even listen to the way he's speaking to her in verse 14. Oh, my dove. He doesn't call her anything but the things his heart has towards her. Oh, my dove, you are in the clefts of the rock. You're in my heart. You're out from my side. My dove. He's not saying, oh, you wretched little failure. You know, you're in trouble. He says, oh, my dove, you're inside of my heart. You're in the clefts of the rock. You're in the secret places of the stairs. He is affirming to her, I love you. You're in me. We're one. That's how I see you. That's how I hold you. Nothing's changed in my heart. But we're just having to deal with some foxes and some walls, right? We can be with him in the dealing. We don't have to let the enemy, which can be our mind, our interpretations, our feelings, whatever it might be, little foxes, tell us that he doesn't love us when he deals with us. And thereby keep us away from him and the dealing we so deeply need, right? We can just say, Lord, let's be together in this. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not be afraid because you're there. I'm in you. You're in me. We can go through this together. And he's saying that to her, my dove, you're in me. I love you. I just want to see your face. I just want to hear your voice. I just want to experience oneness with you again. I'm tired of being behind this wall. I'm tired of the foxes destroying everything that starts living. And then some little fox comes and makes it die. You know what I'm saying? I want our fruit to live. I want to hear your voice. I want to see your face. I want you in oneness. I want you in my spirit. I want you with me where I'm at in my nature. I do. I'm just saying all this because I want you. But I don't want walls and foxes because then I don't have you. Right? But with the wall down and the fox is gone, the cross has come, my life will fill the land. And that means that oneness, true oneness, where it's him, begins to take over. And the rivers start to flow, the river of life. That river that just, I can't do it. That's why you need to get him from behind the wall with you. And you, I can't do it. Then quit building another brick on the wall. If you can't do it, then stop protecting self all day, because he's never going to get past the wall to fill you with his life that can do it. Does that make sense? If you say, I can't do it, and that means I'm going to build one more brick on the wall, dadgummit, so I feel safe, because I just need a little bit of pity right now. So one more brick on the wall makes me feel a little bit better in my controlled environment. And he's like, one more brick on the wall is that much separation again. Take a brick down. Take a brick down and let my life come through that veil. And once it hits your heart, you're going to have, oh my, what just happened? All of a sudden, I feel life bubbling up on the inside. Where'd that fear go? Where'd that need to protect myself go? You take another brick down. Oh my gosh. I feel like I can love my enemies. I feel like I can grab hold of one of those tears, little fox tears, you know, that whenever someone touches things that affect my flesh, oh, the bugs start running. See, they squirm around. Little bugs, the carnal mind bugs. Flesh bugs. Flesh bugs. Oh, they start squirming when the cross is being preached, don't they? Yee! The rats scream. Where do I get a little life in there? Boom. Rat poison. I didn't know my mind could be so clear. Dadgummit. I don't have to live with rats running around in my attic all day. Take a brick down from the wall. Let a little light come in. Take a little cross on the inside, and all of a sudden those rats start dying. Dude, I like this. Why was I protecting myself from this? Why was I protecting the rats? Amen? I mean, I don't want them. I want him. The cross is my friend. I don't want to protect him, man. I want to kill him. I want to kill him with the cross. But we can't do it. Our just mind is like, I can't stop it. I can't stop it. Oh, I'm going to build another brick. I can't stop it. This room, I can't stop it. I can't. Well, you got to take some bricks down and let him in. Because the only thing that's going to stop the circus is the light of life shining into that dark place and radiating it with Calvary. Well, I just can't control my mind. I can't. I'm weak in that way. It ain't about you controlling your mind. It's about you taking a brick down and letting the light shine in. He will control your mind. In fact, let his mind be in you. Let it be in you. Well, I can't. There's a wall between me and him. He doesn't ever come in my room. You built a wall. Take it down and he'll come in. He's not a wrecking ball, he's a lamb, right? I'm not saying this, Terry. I'm just talking. I'm just talking. What I see in this chapter. Take it down. And yet with all of that, he's so tender. He's so tender. The word of God just shows his tenderness. It declares his heart in the midst of all of this. And then in verse 15, he says, take us, not you. We always make it about us. It's all about my failures. It's all about where I let the foxes in. No, he doesn't say, take you, the foxes. He says, take us. Take us, the foxes, the little foxes that spoil our vines. Take care of these areas for us, not for you. I don't see you as separate from me. I see you as one with me. This is affecting us, not just you, because you're my body. You're my house. Take us, the fox. Isn't that a tender plea from his heart? There's no condemnation there. There's no pressure there, in a sense. It's just love. Take us, the foxes. And then the reason isn't because you're a failure. I hate sin. This is so hard on me. It's because they're spoiling our fruit. Like, there's love. Take care of them because they're tearing down the beautiful life. You know, the love starts bubbling on the inside. Life starts coming forth. And those foxes, they start breaking it up and making everything dead winter again. Everything cold again. Has anyone ever experienced that, where like new life started bubbling forth and then a fox came in and all of a sudden you're like, where'd that go? And he's like, it was real. There was flowers on the earth. The vines were springing. The birds were singing. It's true. I saw my life in your land, in you. But then the foxes came in and they started devouring it. The tender growth on the vine. Take the fox. Don't let it do that. Don't let that sneaky little dude do that. For us. Do it for us. Don't do it for you. Do it for us. Amen. Do it for us. Do it for love. Do it for him. The him that you're one with, that he needs you in that way. Isn't that beautiful? His heart just sings. It does. It sings even in this chapter. It sings. After all of that, her response in verse 16 is, my beloved is mine, and I am him. I'm his. Until the day break and the shadows flee away, go away, my beloved, and be like the roe or the young hart upon the mountains of Bethair. It's just a huge wow. She basically responds to that with, you're mine, everything's great, I don't know what you're talking about. Go ahead and go back to the mountains. And when everything is perfect in my life, then maybe I'll let you in. When I'm feeling great, when my mind is clear, when there's no more foxes, when everything is perfect in my circumstances, then we can get together. But until then, until the light shines, and what does it say? The shadows flee away and the day breaks, I can't be with you. I can't be with you when it's going to cost me. I can't be with you until everything's perfect. So you go. And when everything's perfect in my life, come back. And we'll have a great relationship. Based on selfishness. But, you know, I'll be comfortable. I'll be comfortable. What does he do? He leaves. He leaves. Well, he can't leave. I'm just a fragile, tender little sprig. He won't, you know, he won't do that. I couldn't handle that. Well, he did it. He did it. He did it right here in the Bible. The Bible. Well, if you say he doesn't do it, does that make mean he won't? The Bible says he goes. The Bible says it. If I were to say different, don't listen to me. Listen to the word of God. And he doesn't come back until she gets up from her lazy, self-absorbed, safe place and runs through those city streets crying out and pressing in until she finds him. He will not be found until she gets up and gets after him out of her safe, comfortable, unselfish little room. And when she does, she finds him. And when she doesn't, she stays alone. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Right now, we make a decision not to go with our soul. We make a decision not to go with our mind. We make a decision not to go with our emotions. We make a decision to hear your heart. We make a decision to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. We make a decision to deny our soul, to pick up our cross, and to follow Jesus. We make a decision to not consider ourselves and our comfort, but to consider you and what you need at whatever cost. We make a decision. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. Lord, I'm counting the cost. I don't want to make a compromise. I don't want to get out of it. I just want you to have my heart, to be taken care of, to have a wife for the Lamb, to sing for the right reasons because of me being with you in your nature, And Lord, I know that's where you're taking us. I know that's what the cross is bringing forth. I know this is love. You love us enough to be real. You love us enough to speak the truth from your heart that loves us so deeply it died all the way. Oh, Lord, we're not talking about your love, but our love tonight. Your love is perfect. Our union is settled. The cross is finished. Tonight, it's not about that. It's about you and our love for you. So, Lord, we turn. We turn from self unto Jesus. We ask the Spirit of God to minister to us the word for Jesus' sake, to open us up to you in new ways, ways that will stop old things from being foxes that tear down the vine, ways that will take one brick down and then another until light floods the gates of our heart and rivers bubble up from deep within and springtime shines out of the garden of our heart and our beloved just walks through the garden and eats the fruit and just goes, oh, the lilies, oh, the savor, the love. She is my garden of delights. Oh, she has become that for me, even in the face of her own loss. Oh, she's my crown and my rejoicing, a place where my nature dwells. Help us, Lord, to hear beyond our fears, to hear your love, to receive your heart, and to just be with you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.